wish I knew how it would feel to be free. I wish I could break all the chains holding me. I wish I could say all the things that I should say.
You are listening to the Prison Voices Project, a radio storytelling project highlighting the voices of people impacted by the prison system. The Prison Voices Project airs on the second and fourth Thursday of every month from 10 to 11 a.m. on WGXC Hands On Community Radio 90.7 FM. If you are listening to the program and would like to share your story with the prison system, or you have ideas for the program, or you would like to get involved, please write to us at 704 Columbia Street, 2nd floor, Hudson, New York, 12534.
I wish I could give all I'm longing to give. I wish I could live like I'm longing to live.
Hello and welcome to the Prison Voices Project. I am your host, Corey Fisher Hoffman. Today's show is about the intersection of the fight for equity for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer people, and the prison system. Early on, the Prison Voices Project did a show on transgendered people and incarceration. Today's program features a short clip of the Rude Mechanical Orchestra and Milk Knot Jails at Hudson's Pride Parade, and an interview with Jason Lydon of Black and Pink. Black and Pink is an open family of LGBTQ prisoners and free world allies who support each other. Their work toward the abolition of the prison industrial complex is rooted in the experience of currently and formerly incarcerated people. They are outraged by the specific violence of the prison industrial complex against LGBTQ people and respond through advocacy, education, direct service, and organizing. So if you want to hear that interview, stay tuned. Before we get started, however, I just want to acknowledge and thank the volunteers who attended the first ever Prison Voices Project letter writing night. We were able to send newsletters and handwritten responses to every person who has written into the program from correctional facilities in New York State. So thank you so much to Catherine, Dan, Tabitha, Eli, Kaya, Carrie, Emily, Greg, Nicholas, Eileen, KJ, Arlene, Adam, Shanika, Cheryl, and also thanks to Matt Bua for your stamp donation. This first song is for you all. Give Thanks and Praise by Bob Marley.
Give thanks and praises to the Most High. Give thanks and praises so high. He will not deceive us, my brethren. He will only lead us ever Oh, take that veil from off of your eyes. Look into the future of realize. Noah had three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And in Ham is known to be the prophet. Glory to Jah, the prophet is come. Glory to Jah, the prophet has come. When my soul was hurted deep within, and I'm worrying to be free, desperately, yeah. So guide and protect I and I, oh Jah Jah, through all these ages. Guide and protect I and I, oh Jah Jah, through all these ages.
That was Give Thanks and Praise by Bob Marley, dedicated to the incredible volunteers who came out and helped with the letter writing night that took place on Thursday, June 20th, to respond to the letters received by the Prison Voices Project by those who were incarcerated in New York State. So thank you so much again. Before we move on, here is some important local news.
In recent local news, in a Times Union article that was printed on June 13th, 2013, the headline reads, "Lawsuits allege sex abuse at NY jail. Two correctional officers were charged with sexually abusing female inmates." This article is by Brenda J. Lyons. It says, "A federal civil rights lawsuit was filed against several Greene County jail officials this week by a female inmate, the second woman in 4 months to claim sexual abuse by male guards at the Catskill facility. The lawsuits follow the arrests last December of two jail officers, Donald Schermerhorn, 43, and Ernest Dunn, 26. The men were charged with official misconduct and sexually abusing female inmates in their custody. Both were suspended from their jobs while their criminal cases are pending, according to an attorney for Schermerhorn. A 52-year-old Hunter woman who is incarcerated at the jail awaiting sentencing on burglary charges filed a lawsuit Monday in U.S. District Court against Schermerhorn. Sheriff Gregory R. Seeley, jail superintendent Michael Spitz, a jail sergeant, a nurse, and a social worker at the facility. The woman whose name is being withheld by the Times Union alleges that while she was incarcerated last year, Schermerhorn watched her undressed, groped her, forcibly touched her, and threatened to punish her if she refused his advances. The lawsuit indicates the woman reported the incidents to a jail nurse and a social worker, as well as a sergeant, but nothing was done. Her claim alleges that the nurse and social worker told her they'd heard rumors of Schermerhorn's conduct, but that it would be her word against the officers. A few months later, in August 2012, the Greene County Sheriff's Department, which operates the jail, began a criminal investigation when the female inmate showed jail officials a handwritten note attributed to Schermerhorn in which he allegedly asked to see naked photos of her on Facebook, a social media website. The alleged victim met with state police investigators who visited state prisons to interview other women who had been incarcerated at the Catskill Jail. The investigators uncovered information substantiating the inmate's claims against Schermerhorn and also discovered similar allegations against Dunn. Both men were arrested on December 18th. The custom and practice of the Greene County Jail is to allow male corrections officers to supervise female detainees while they are alone, including allowing male corrections officers to observe female detainees while they are in complete state of undress, allowing them to access shower units with female detainees where female detainees are bathing, and also allowing them to enter the cells of female detainees without supervision, states the federal complaint filed this week by the Hunter woman's attorney, Elmer Robert Keach III of Amsterdam. On Wednesday, Dunn said, "Not at the moment," when asked for a comment before cutting off the call. Schermerhorn's attorney, Dennis B. Schlenker of Albany, characterized his client as a devoted family man who has been an exemplary citizen. "My client absolutely and unequivocally denies any act of misconduct, sexual or otherwise, and will vigorously defend himself," Schlenker said. On March 27th, a similar federal lawsuit targeting both Dunn and Schermerhorn was filed by a 28-year-old Catskill woman who claims she was sexually abused by Dunn while serving a 6-month sentence at the jail beginning in April 2012. Her lawsuit, filed by a Hudson attorney, Mark D. Greenberg, says Dunn and Schermerhorn both were regularly assigned to the female unit, which consisted of 12 jail cells. The 28-year-old woman alleges Dunn often stood in front of her cell, passed her notes describing and demanding sexual acts, including strip shows, and ordered her to perform oral sex on him. He told her to remember that he knew where she lived, which was in close proximity to the jail, the lawsuit states. The claims say Schermerhorn also began visiting the 28-year-old inmate's cell beginning last May when he worked overnight shifts. The woman alleges that Schermerhorn wrote her 4 or 5 letters, which he always retrieved, requesting sexual favors and that she meet with him after her release from jail. Both lawsuits allege other jail officers were aware of what was taking place, but that the facility's police gave the two male guards unfettered access to the female inmates. A sergeant who supervised the unit was only around during daytime work hours, according to the claim filed in March. In the criminal cases, Dunn is charged with felony sexual misconduct, misdemeanor sexual abuse, official misconduct, and coercion. Schemmerhorn is charged with misdemeanor counts of sexual abuse and official misconduct. The status of the cases was not immediately available Wednesday. Greene County District Attorney Terry Wilhelm did not respond to a request for comment. Seeley, the sheriff, and Spitz, the jail superintendent, also did not respond to requests for comment. So that was an article that I just read from the Times Union, written by Brenda J. Lyons, and it's about a lawsuit that alleges sexual abuse at Greene County Jail by specifically two correctional officers that are currently being charged with sexually abusing female inmates. And that came out June 13th, 2013.
And you are listening to the Prison Voices Project on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acra, Catskill, Hudson, Greene, Coxsackie.
Come on, come on.
Sunsets and the ghettos play. Long nights on a hot summer's block where you sip your brew and never touch your glass. This is for eyes that cry like yours and learn to smile again. Rise above the pain. This is for you and your crew, the ones that's true. Will always love you no matter what you do.
Rise is the light, the light, the light, the light, the light. Rise the light, the light, the light. Rise is the light, the light, the light. Your light, your light. It's the light, your light, my light.
This is for soldiers who bust their guns in the name of freedom, not the game of funds. True queens who raise their kids, implement the knowledge, show them how to live.
For those who have their own fallen angels trying to
That was Mystic with The Life, and you are listening to the Prison Voices Project on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, Green, Coxsackie. Here is a short piece that I produced on Milk Knot Jails and the Rude Mechanical Orchestra at Hudson's Pride Parade and Festival. All of the music is by the Rude Mechanical Orchestra. Hudson Pride is a festive event which includes a march down Warren Street and a family-friendly festival with performances at the Waterfront Park. This year, the Brooklyn-based Rude Mechanical Orchestra, or RMO, joined other musical groups, floats, and marching bands in the parade down Warren Street. But the RMO had a specific message that pushed the bounds of this year's Pride Parade.
Racist drug law, shut them down! We don't need no prison town!
Wearing fun outfits, reminiscent of the 1950s milkman, although with much more style, RMO partnered with a grassroots organization called Milk Knot Jails to bring their message to the streets of Hudson. This is Zach.
We're just passing out pamphlets for Milk Knot Jails, and Milk Knot Jails is just like a grassroots organization based around trying to promote rural agriculture and trying to support small farmers in order to fight back against the prison industrial complex. What you see in New York a lot of times is urban people are targeted and criminalized and put into prisons, and the rural places are where these prisons pop up, like Hudson. So we're trying to promote the rural agricultural industry because New York has the third largest dairy industry actually in the state in the United States. So we're trying to promote that in order to fight back against incarceration being a jobs program.
I asked Lauren Melodia, organizer with Milk Knot Jails, to explain why they chose the Hudson Pride Parade as a venue for their campaign.
We want to reach out to people here in Hudson at Pride and let them know about the urban-rural alliance we're building for the local food system and to think beyond the prison economy. We thought it would be a great opportunity to reach out to progressively-minded people here in Hudson. Maybe let people know that there is a prison right down the street here in Hudson if they don't already know that. 90% of the prisons in New York State are in rural areas, and so they create and provide a lot of jobs in those communities. And we know that a lot of politicians that represent those communities they see their communities dependent on the prisons, and they want to make sure that those jobs are there. What we're trying to do is demonstrate that there's other rural economic opportunities like farming. The prison industry doesn't have economic growth attached to it. Or if it did, then we're looking at a rise in crime and a rise in incarceration. Do we really want that as New Yorkers? Probably not.
Chanting erotic pleasures, decorations, no more mass incarceration, the Rude Mechanical Orchestra took the stage at Waterfront Park.
Jails. We are based in Brooklyn, New York. We are so happy to be here with Hudson Pride. So thank you very much for having us from Brooklyn. We really want to work on creating more of a rural-urban partnership between Hudson and New York City around issues that matter to all of us. Have a wonderful day. Happy Pride.
Well, we're hoping that we can build connections inside and outside of those prison walls and between upstate and downstate. We're a grassroots movement, and we're trying to create an alternative here in New York State to the prison economy, and we really need people here in the Hudson Valley to participate in that with us. So, you know, check us out at milknotjails.org or give us a call and join us.
From Hudson, New York, I am Corey Fisher Hoffman with the Prison Voices Project.
Kevin was a friend to me. We hit it off from the very beginning. He had a very big heart. That boy was my best friend, and that's real talk. And those who hated Kevin didn't know Kevin at all. Cause I'm about to let y'all know you got it twisted. You just see the paint, but don't see the big picture. You go and preach hate behind scripture. You point the finger first, but you the worst sinner. I'm angry cause his life was short, that's not fair. You condemn him to going to hell, he's not there. He was good, he was loved, he was all of the above. So I don't understand how you do not care. You go to church every week, you call this devotion. Hate behind your beliefs and say your word is spoken. Your faith is only what you see, your eyes wide open. You say you a man of God, but you're going through the motions. You ain't a Christian. World is so cold, I don't feel safe any place anymore. And you come up in my face, just watch me slam the door. Well, people take the law in their own hands. I gotta take a stand and represent him. For him, I go to war, an advocate for peace. But peace is what for? You stay ignorant, it means you not know. It's 2007, man, why you even give a damn? Why you concentrating on someone's life they living in? If society say us people ain't fitting in, ignore us and close your eyes and stop listening. I guess you ain't got no life, nothing to do. Tell you what, concentrate on you and just you. Yo, I represent those who oppose us, hate. Not people who hate to face, saying God is great. You ain't a Christian, you go and preach hate. Hey, you call yourself a church, together you congregate. Yeah, you turn around and point the finger, discriminate. Yeah, you spit in my face, condemn me for being gay. Everything that happened don't make sense right now. And I feel it's about to go down. I want revenge for taking my best friend and making his life end. And people are afraid of someone who ain't them. If I would have hated, I would be just like them. So I can't and I won't, cause I'm better than that. But it won't change the fact that he ain't coming back. So I gotta be strong, now I got my reason to stand up for people like Kev who stop grieving. Cause I'm there with you every step of the way. You ain't gotta be afraid of what society say. Cause I've been there before, the lost point in my life. Consider suicide a feeling that I wanted to die. But I survived and you are not alone in this fight. Take a stand for equality and fight for your right.
That was Gay Bash by Melange Levan. And now we will turn to our feature interview. This interview was done by the Horizontal Power Hour on WESU in Middleton, Connecticut. It is great to be sharing content with other small local radio stations, so thank you, Horizontal Power Hour. The hosts, Slamming and Mariana Eversley, will introduce Jason Lydon of Black and Pink.
In the studio today, we have Jason Lydon, founder of Black and Pink. Black and Pink is an LGBTQ network of prisoners and their free world allies who are building a movement against the injustices of the prison industrial complex. Their work towards the abolition of the carceral state is rooted in the experiences of currently and formerly incarcerated people. They respond to the violence of the prison industrial complex through advocacy, education, direct action, and organizing. Based primarily out of Boston, this amazing and passionate group holds strong to a feminist, anti-racist, queer liberationist, anti-capitalist radical analysis of social, ecological, and economic struggles. Some of their current projects include an online database of LGBTQ prisoners seeking pen pals, a monthly newsletter composed of work and materials created by currently and formerly incarcerated people, and advocacy work for people who are dealing with the court system.
So Black and Pink, we first and foremost describe ourselves as an open family of LGBTQ prisoners and their free world allies who work to support each other in our efforts towards abolishing the prison industrial complex. What that means in terms of the realities of our work is creating and distributing a monthly newspaper of prisoner-created writings that goes out to about 2,500 prisoners across the country. It looks like direct advocacy for individuals who are currently incarcerated, as well as court support locally in Boston for individuals who are looking for folks to go with them as they're dealing with the violence of the court system, joining in campaigns on a national level and a local level towards whittling away at the power of the prison industrial complex, and getting involved in whatever ways we can in community education, offering workshops, analysis building, and certainly just growing the strength of the movement.
So how did you all get started?
Black and Pink started in some form about 8.5 years ago in my kitchen. After I had gotten out of prison, I wanted to stay in touch with the folks I had been locked up with, folks who had supported me and looked out for me, especially people in county jails in Georgia when I was in a segregated cell for queer and trans people, and wanted to just be sure that I was remembering and keeping track of those who I had left behind after my short sentence in prison. And so it started kind of just as writing to a few individuals, keeping track of friends, and then people were telling each other, well, Jason will write to you if you write to him. And it quickly became writing 5 people and then 20 people and then 40 people. And I was unable to write to 40 individuals on my own. So I asked my friends to get involved and to take on pen pals, and then just kind of kept growing with someone suggesting, let's start a website and get people to find names online. And then having a number, when I believe I reached about 130 people and decided that it was appropriate to create a newsletter. My first attempt at that was my own personal attempt of zero computer or layout or any form of skill. And so it just looked ridiculous, but it was an easy way to get a lot of information to a lot of folks without having to individualize everything to the level that I was unable to be done with the volunteer pool that we had at that time. And then it has gotten to where we are today.
How would you describe how Black and Pink is differentiated from a more mainstream LGBT equality rights-based movement that largely dominates political organizing today?
I would say, firstly, that we would challenge the idea that rights is at all the way that we should be going about this fight. While not everyone within Black and Pink considers themselves to be anarchists, we are grounded in a lot of anarchist theory and revolutionary ideologies that say that the state is part of the problem, and thus we're not interested in securing rights from the state to validate our existence or to co-opt our struggle. So I'd say Black and Pink functions as an effort that stands with and supports criminalized people, including those who are criminalized for doing terrible things. We're not just here as an organization to support the easy prisoners that everyone likes to support who are drug war victims, but rather we include the whole gamut of who is impacted by the prison industrial complex, which definitely includes the quote-unquote bad prisoners that we serve on an equal level. So for us, I think we function as somewhat of a thorn, I would say, in the side of the mainstream LGBT movement when we can, because we are pushing them to recognize that LGBTQ folks are far more complex than those who want a white picket fence or even those who've been brutally murdered who they can use for their own hate crimes legislation work.
So what are some of the specific goals on the horizon for Black and Pink?
I mean, certainly the long-term goal is the abolition of the prison industrial complex, the closing of prison doors, the end of policing, the destruction of the carceral state, also partnering and growing our relationship with folks doing work around immigrant detention, supporting the work of UndocuQueer and those who are really pushing for the detention centers to be a space, actually, of organizing inside, where there are so many people actually mobilizing each other while dealing with the possibility of deportation inside the detention centers. We want to figure out how we can be a better effort in support of that. excited that our newsletter has turned into a newspaper, that we are doing more and more community outreach. We're partnering with the Hispanic Black Gay Coalition in Boston and just continuously building relationships and increasing education about how the prison industrial complex impacts the lives of LGBTQ folks specifically, but within the context of everybody.
Can you speak briefly about prison abolition as world building or building alternative institutions to the ones that exist today?
I think one of the beautiful things about abolition is that while the word is a sound of destruction, it's a beautifully creative force. And to me, transformative justice is that opportunity where we are creating moments of responding to harm without relying on the systems that the state gives us and allows us to have. And specifically, that looks like getting involved in circle processes that have grown from the restorative justice model and then critiqued and I think transformed by the transformative justice model to engage what it means to have survivor-centered healing and people who have caused harm accountability without complete isolation from communities, that there is a way to do this, that there are support structures involved for everybody, and that those of us who have been bystanders have a responsibility to take account for the ways that we have allowed violence to happen. I think that's one of the things that's so useful and important about transformative justice, is that it's not only about holding those who have directly caused harm accountable, but holding accountable all of us who, in the face of violence and as violence is happening, were unable or chose not to or were too fearful to involve ourselves in alleviating the suffering that was happening. And so I'm excited about that happening on small community levels here in Boston, of supporting that happening with the work of Generation 5 in California and so many other folks who have really led the way in creating these different models that can be used on individual-to-individual community bases, while also having a larger conversation that says we need to talk authentically about how sexual violence, domestic violence, and harm are taking place in our many communities, including by people who are reputable folks, and that we need to have resources created by each other that we can try out to see how we can respond to harm without calling the cops.
Thank you for that beautiful answer. What kinds of other movements do you feel that Black and Pink is aligned with, for example, economic justice or education reform?
I would say we align with a lot of different people who and movements on a individual basis within the organization, and then as an organization we have signed on specifically around immigrant justice campaigns. We've done a lot of support here in Boston around youth jobs and the importance of making sure young people have access to wages and are getting paid for their labor. We have connected ourselves certainly to other economic justice campaigns, and we were fiscally sponsored for a short time by Queers for Economic Justice because we found that connection to be so important. And so that means aligning ourselves with folks doing work around ending homelessness, certainly around HIV and AIDS work. There's a lot of overlap between Black and Pink and the Boston chapter of ACT UP, and just pushing the boundaries, I guess, of what is considered abolitionist organizing. That for us, we are excited about the ideas of health equity, not jails, or having a way of eliminating the school-to-prison pipeline that is created and led by young people and supporting young people. And that's been exciting for us, moving our office into a youth space here in Boston, that we are based at the City School, which is a social justice organization of youth leadership transforming, I would say, really the world, but certainly their own communities through their organizing efforts.
This is a song made for other boys whose rainbows forgot how to bloom, whose moons forgot how to change into suns to illuminate the gray days. This is a song made for color boys whose heroes forgot how to fly, whose wings were clipped with raging cages, waited to take them with no reasons why. This is a song made for color boys whose upends that never come up, whose mothers and fathers became the sons and the daughters of revolutions, eternal corrupt.
Yes. So this is for the color boys like me, brother fence walker fringe society, pressurizing exponentially.
This is for the color boys like me, dirty, dirty, the city streets, literary geeks that control, alternate, and delete to reboot. We be the strange fruit, blackberry, sweet juice. We be rigging your reel, telling our truth. We got moods like Langston Hughes. Be the county color blues, be the soul of his shoes. Marvin White's black bird taking flight with words, with our pens and manifestos. We bougie and ghetto, thug and crud, the nigga please and nigga what? The XX of the mic check, we be the boys suspect when they fail to love themselves well. We enter Zaki's warriors, homo revolutionary males, following our hearts, we spark sunshine in the dark. DDC, famous outlaw MCs, we get free.
We on some other issues, spit so sick, stroke on it. Hit me on MySpace, JP rap, sick with it. Call me Gaylord, feel the face, and fire grace, and those who expire. Ricky, Kaya, Alizé, and Tanya, yeah, we miss your bad love. Tiger, ready to blow like Golden State. Oh, white girl, we done had enough. Moist and sticky on the same brain. Like cotton fields painting yesterday's rain. How you gonna make it through all the pain and all the anguish? Fall to the depth and stand tall. Fall to the depth and stand tall.
So this is for the color boys like me. Run our fence, walk our fringe society. Pressurizing exponentially. And yet we try to song. Well, I was born inside of a pot of gold at the end of a rainbow that no one knows. So the answer is clear if we recognize it. Looking for truth and look to my eyes.
The point is this colored noise. This joint is for colored boys. This is for Essex, the solo, Donald, and Marla Troy. This is for Amy, for Melvin, Clarton, for County C. This is for Larry Duckett, for Joseph and Jimmy B. For cousins and lovers, who could it be because you would laugh? This is for Luther, Poetic, Easy, and Sugar Chef. My brother, whose name you will never know, I'ma get it right. The major infinity ninja twisting it through the night. In spite of the pressures and expectations of high desire. Like Bayard, who painted through slings and arrows while walking by. Before more I Afro, so homo stories will see the light. The slice had me frightened, and now I'm ready to have fun.
Chocolate covered rainbows. Black boys, get on down.
Shade of brown, I like to see it get on down, 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 down. Love to see that boys get down. I like that UK Irish brown. I like that Tamil Trini brown, 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 brown. Love to love to see the sound. Love to see the sound. I love to see the brown. I like to.
So this is for the color boys like me, brother fence walker fringe society, pressurizing exponentially. Yet we start a song. Well, I was born inside of a pot of gold at the end of a rainbow, but no one knows. So the answer is clear if you recognize. If you're looking for truth, then look to my eyes. Chocolate covered rainbows. Black boys, get on down,
down, down, down, down, down, down, down.
Chocolate colored rainbows. Love to hear that sound,
sound, sound, sound, sound, sound, sound, sound, sound, sound, sound, sound.
You just heard For Colored Boys by Deep Dick Collective. And before that, you heard part one of an interview with Jason Lydon of Black and Pink. If you're just tuning in, Black and Pink is an open family of LGBTQ prisoners and free world allies who support each other. Their work toward the abolition of the prison industrial complex is rooted in the experience of currently and formerly incarcerated people. They are outraged by the specific violence of the prison industrial complex against LGBTQ people, and respond through advocacy, education, direct service, and organizing. And for those listening, if you're curious, LGBTQ people means lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and sometimes you'll also see an I for intersex as well. So Black and Pink is really addressing specifically the role that the prison system is playing on LGBTQ people. You are listening to the Prison Voices Project on 90.7 FM, WGXC. You can also be streaming it live at WGXC.org. That's also where you can find archives of past shows, and this show will also be archived there. We're going to now turn to part two of the interview with Jason Lydon of Black and Pink.
So do you think radical queer organizing in the contemporary moment has paid more attention to issues of policing and incarceration now more than ever, or perhaps now more than in earlier movements?
I think that certainly there are more and more organizing efforts that are starting that are LGBTQ specific, whether that be Black and Pink here in Boston, where we're based, but on a national level, or the Transformative Justice Law Project in Chicago, or the Transgender Intersex Justice Project in San Francisco, Transmission in North Carolina, the Sylvia Rivera Law Project, of course, in New York City, and then we can go out of the country to Canada and see the Prisoner Correspondence Project. So there is certainly a growth, I would say, over the past 10 years in organizations that are specifically doing LGBTQ prisoner support. But I actually believe that there have been LGBTQ folks in every level of doing anti-prison organizing since the growth of the anti-prison movement in the 70s. And I think any of the efforts of, say, critical resistance, as they began in the 90s, there have been queer and trans folks at every level of those organizing efforts. What I think is different is the attention that's being given to the specific needs of LGBTQ folks, and in particular, transgender women of color who are predominantly criminalized, and the criminalization of sex work and the criminalization of HIV, that these issues or these movements, I guess, are getting brought into a light for some folks to begin to see. So I think that's really exciting. I'm not sure that I think there are more people working now, but there's certainly more attention and more specificity, I think, to LGBTQ prisoners and formerly incarcerated folks in the leadership of.
How do you see, or how would you represent Black and Pink's standpoint on the relationship between theory and action, or theory and practice, I guess?
I think our newspaper, or what has been a newsletter but is now a newspaper, is a space where folks who are incarcerated are getting to participate in that conversation in some ways, that it is a written document that they're sharing with each other that may not have academic theory, but certainly is layered and laced with theory throughout it. I can also say that for myself, as someone who has participated in the academic exercise with articles published around the needs of LGBTQ folks in prison, that it's something I actually struggle with, what it means to have individuals and efforts of people making a career off of the discussion around abolition of the prison industrial complex and the needs of LGBTQ folks. I think that that is complex. Those of us who do academic writing have a responsibility to be continuously accountable for the fact that we need to be sure that we're actually doing work with and in line with and in solidarity with folks who are most impacted by the prison industrial complex, and especially those who are inside the walls. I've been really excited about the work of, or the pieces from Captive Genders. I think that is an amazing anthology that I love. Queer Injustice, Criminalization of LGBT People in the United States, that Andrea Ritchie, Joey Mogul, and Kay Whitlock did, is a phenomenal piece of work around showing history while also highlighting that work is happening now, and all three of those individuals are actively engaged. Same with the work in Captive Genders, are people really expressing and reflecting on the work that they're doing. So all of the theory, I think, that's getting the most attention is being done by people who are actively engaged in the movement. And I think that's the most important piece. How do we deal with and respond to questions of what are we going to do when we don't have prisons anymore? And I think that that's a scary and hard question for a lot of people who have been told that they are safer because prisons exist. And I think it is a less difficult question for individuals and communities for whom prisons are themselves a form of harm and violence, and the idea of getting rid of them is a step towards freedom. And I think one of the pieces of work that we need to do is being sure that we don't get too stuck, I think, in conversations about what exactly are we going to do when these buildings fall and we stop incarcerating people, and instead be also spending our time mobilizing and doing work with folks who are most directly impacted. And so if our efforts are not just in academia and are not just with college kids, but instead is rooted in communities of sex workers and LGBTQ people of color struggling with homelessness, or if we're building our movement among those most directly impacted, I think those conversations will be different. The conversations themselves will instead be changing to how do we protect ourselves from this violence that is happening through the structure of the carceral state, and how do we instead create something different alongside this so that we can deal with harm in our own community, so we can hold pimps accountable for the violence that they're causing, so that we are dealing with domestic violence appropriately without having to call the cops who have mandated arrests, so that we are, you know, also challenging systems of white supremacy and capitalism that are themselves tools of destruction. And I think that we can do that work best when we're doing that in the street while doing movement building.
How can our listeners get involved or support Black and Pink?
First and foremost, be sure to write to somebody who's currently incarcerated. If you are not at this moment connected to someone who's locked up, if you are not in a relationship of some kind with someone who is behind bars, fix that. There are 2.4 million people who are locked up. Hundreds of thousands of those are LGBTQ people. What you can do is start getting to know folks who are inside. And so that looks like, for us, you can certainly go to blackandpink.org and go right and click on our pen pal link and peruse our list of 2,500 prisoners who are looking for someone to write to them. And you can find someone there. Or write to your cousin if your cousin is locked up, you know, your mom, your dad, your lover, your siblings, whoever it is in your life who is impacted, take some time to write to them, because letters are a lifeline. Letters are a key part of saving the lives of people who are inside. It helps to reduce harm caused by others, as mail call happens generally in a public space, so prison guards and other prisoners will know that you have people on the outside who are supporting you. If they hear your name read, that might lead to them causing less harm to you, because they will think that there could be consequences for assault or harassment or isolation and whatnot. And then it also is amazing for reducing self-harm, that LGBTQ folks in particular in prison have enormously high rates of self-injurious behavior, cutting themselves, starving themselves for not political reasons, but of hurting their bodies as a way of suffering, and as a way of trying to figure out how to survive better as they can. And letters can be a much more helpful coping mechanism. So certainly writing to folks can just literally save people's lives. And that's what the first thing to do. Also, have conversations in your own community about how do you respond to violence, how do you respond to harm, and how do you do so without calling the police. The majority of us, most of the time, respond to harm with silence, with turning our eyes, with lots of feelings of discomfort and moving in our seats, not knowing what to do. But instead, take some time to have conversations in your group of friends about how do you want to address harm that could come up in romantic relationships in your friend group, in how people are treating each other. How do you support each other who are survivors of child sexual abuse? Having just open and honest conversations about how violence impacts your day-to-day lives. And then make a commitment to each other that you're not calling the police, that you are going to create something different, to not ask the police for help, to not perpetuate that domination into your lives. I think that those things can be some steps to start alleviating the power of the prison industrial complex and start really building relationships with folks who are inside. The prison industrial complex is incredibly pervasive. It takes over so much of our lives, from the moment we are created into this world and brought into this world until we die, that systems of white supremacy and domination and control are what make it function and what feed it. we have the collective power to dismantle it. Prisons have not actually been around for all that long. And prisons is the way that they are today in the way of really incarcerating and going after black and brown bodies in the way that they do is only decades old. We can dismantle this system when we put our minds, hearts, bodies into this work to dismantle it, and that we can have faith in our capacity to do this work, to build relationships, to know that the leadership best comes from those who are most impacted, and that with that, we can have a beautiful, powerful, winning movement that succeeds in abolition and in that beautiful creation of something new.
You just heard from Jason Lydon of Black and Pink. Thanks to the Horizontal Power Hour of WESU in Middleton, Connecticut, and to the interviewers and hosts, Slamming and Mariana Eversley. If you'd like to hear this program again, or if you just caught the end of it, you can find it on the archives at wgxc.org. Just search Prison Voices Project. If you are listening to this show from any of the correctional facilities within range, please send us a letter and let us know that you're listening. We'd love to hear from you. And we now have a newsletter prepared that I can send out to you about past shows that we've covered and how to get involved. So get your pen and paper ready, and we will give the address of where to send that letter to at the end of this program. So keep listening. Stay tuned. For the last few minutes, here is a rhyme by Son of Nun called Southpaw Live. Thanks so much for tuning in, and take much care.
I knew this activist who said she was a pacifist, but on the rail she treated me like I'm a masochist. Hypercritical, but loved it when her ass was kissed, and hated sweatshops because they disrupted her fashion list. Afraid of immigrants, she helped them in her own way. She said she only purchased coffee that was fair trade. Just a typical hypocritical digital snapshot of a pseudo-political crackpot. She liked to talk a lot and smoke a lot of pot, and ended up moving home with the folks a lot. I knew some anarchists resisting in the black bloc who never seemed to set foot on any black blocks. I know some cats who like to spit a lot of facts but never show up when it's time to fight back. Some real rappers spit truth every night, but say stupid ish when it comes to gay rights. Yeah. Yeah. They talk about the Panthers, but they never knew that Huey would have called they ass out for what they do. If I'm lying, then I'm dying then. Nope, the left is still segregated in the lion's den. A lot of liberals act radical till you bring up Palestine and you can find them on sabbatical. I only say it because it's necessary. How the fuck do you think we're going to make change voting for Obama, Clinton, McCain, or John Kerry? We got the 8-hour day because of strikes, not because you wrote your congressman and got the right. They could give a goddamn if you're polite, but hit them in the pockets and they'll meet with you tonight. You can watch that on the news if you dare. Cops locking up workers on strike for health care. Why so many on the left stand with the government when you start talking about capital punishment? I see disparity with clarity and know that solidarity is not synonymous with charity.
You have been listening to the Prison Voices Project, a radio storytelling project highlighting the voices of people impacted by the prison system. The Prison Voices Project airs on the second and fourth Thursday of every month from 10 to 11 a.m., on WGXC Hands-On Community Radio, 90.7 FM in Greene and Columbia Counties. If you are listening to the program and would like to share your story, or you have ideas for the program, please write to us at 704 Columbia Street, 2nd floor, Hudson, New York, 12534. If you have feedback about what you have just heard, you can email us at feedback@wgxc.org. Thanks for listening.
I wish I knew how it would feel to be free. I wish I could break all the chains holding me. I wish. wish I could say all the things that I should say. Say them loud, say them clear, for the whole round world to hear. I wish I could share all the love that's in my heart. Remove all the bars that keep us apart. I wish you could know what it means to be me. Then you'd see and agree that every man should be free. I wish I could give all I'm longing to give. I wish I could live like I'm longing to live. I wish I could do all the things that I can do, though I'm way overdue. I'd be starting anew. Well, I wish I could be like a bird in the sky. How sweet. Then I'd say